A mother was talked into getting a hamster for the family. Kids said, we will take care of a hamster once we get it. But after 2 months, mom realized that no one was caring for the hamster. They named the hamster Danny. So mother called around a few of her friends to give away the hamster. And she broke the news to the children. Children, he's been around here for a long time, but he has to go. It is too much work for one person to do, since I'm that one person, says the mother, so he has to go. The kids said, oh, but he is one of a family member, how can he go? But he has to go. The mom came out firmly, because I'm just tired of taking care of a hamster. Well, maybe if he didn't eat as much, and if he didn't mess the house so much, then maybe he could stay. Mother said, well, he has to go. I say, and that's it. And mother said, go get the cage. And in one voice and tearful outrage, children shouted, you mean Danny? You thought you meant Daddy. Happy Father's Day. I think fathers are very underappreciated and a lot of times kind of, you know, put on the side. Mother's Day, they have so much kind of commercials coming out to get them a present, but Father's Day, you'll be lucky to see one. Next to motherhood, fatherhood has to be one of the most difficult and stressful jobs. Today's father works 50 to 70 hours a week and have to live with the guilt of not helping more around the house, household work. Seems like the sexual revolution has redefined the role of a fatherhood. Before, in my father's era, it used to be that father's job was to go out and work and bring in the dough, and mother was to take care of the household. Now, mother's working, father working, now even the household chores are divided between the couple. And child rearing, no longer it's a job of a mother, but it's a job of a father as well. And you'll be surprised how many fathers are changing diapers and staying up late at night feeding the babies. And we have a baby cry room in a church. In Korean, it's called 자모실, meaning child and mother room. But when I was doing English ministry, that room was made huge because parents went in to take care of a child. Seems like the role of a father have changed quite a bit. Yet when we look around, it became even more difficult. Role of a father was also that of a teacher. Father had to teach morals and ethics to the children, but in this culture, we don't have a standard anymore. Whatever people say it is, that's what it is. So even, you know, how the household is made up, even though you have mother, mother, father, father, you cannot say anything and to say that that is not the right kind of family, because if you do, you might get sued or something might happen to you. So it seems like we have limitation in what we can teach our children, what is right from wrong. USA Today article reported that about 36% of children live apart from their biological fathers. That number has tripled since 1960, and it keeps on going up. About 70% of juvenile in the long-term correctional facility did not live with both parents growing up, and it seems like absence of a father has become a norm to many people. I think church needs to really step up and embrace the broken homes and broken families and children as well, and to demonstrate Christ's love to them as well. Sometimes, even at church, messages seem to put extra pressure by beating up on dads by their neglect and poor example. One little boy said to his preacher, boy, today's sermon was so good because my father, he slumped way down today. You got him good today. Today's message is not to make you feel guilty or make you slump, but I want to really bless you, all the fathers, for doing your job faithfully. I tried to look into the Bible to see if there were exemplary fathers. There's none. Not a single father who we can say, I want to be like that dad. Even Father Abraham, you might say he was a good father. Well, I don't know if he was a good father when he takes out a knife and tries to kill his own son. From son's perspective, that is not a good father. That is a crazy father. You know, not only that, he saw his father lying, and later on, he kind of repeats the same mistake. Yet, we're not looking for perfect fathers. We're looking for real fathers. Fathers who are not afraid to make mistakes, yet they're willing to step up and say, it is well with my soul. that I can do something for my family, for their benefit. You see, there was one survey done among the young people and older parents to hear their dreams and visions. Young people all have visions, but once you get married and have children, men's vision begin to change. And the vision has to include, in fact, not only include, but mainly it's about the family, how I can provide, how I can better the lives of members of household. Jacob was no exception. He believed in the blessing of God. And he wanted to be a good father, like all of us want to be good fathers. He had 12 children. Having many children doesn't justify or validate someone as a good father. I have 6 fathers. Does that make me a good father? I don't think so. Number of children doesn't justify or validate someone to be a good father. Every father has a past. Jacob had a past. And in his past included some baggages. He carried a burden of tricking his older brother and his father in order to steal the birthright. And in order to get blessing from his father, he tricked his brother and tricked his father in order to receive prayer blessing from his father. And he had to run from his family in fear of retaliation from his brother. Jacob's reputation in the land of Canaan wasn't a good one. He was a schemer. He was a con man, somebody not to be trusted. And as he became older, as he got married and had his own children, I'm sure that he didn't want to go back to his hometown because there was a reputation that was going around about him that he's a con man. He was not someone to be trusted. I'm sure that if any way possible, he would want to hide his past to his children. Well, believe me, most of us do have a past, do have mistakes, do have things that we want to hide from our children. But do not be afraid, because there's no one perfect, not one. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As there's no perfect person, there's no perfect fathers. So do not be afraid to admit that I am not perfect, that I am not, you know, just father that you want to exemplify to other people. It's okay. Most of us know that all dads are imperfect. Maybe my own father was not perfect. Some of you may say my father was selfish, greedy, conceited, racial, short-tempered, heavy drinker, maybe womanizer. The time you discover your father's imperfection, it is truly disappointing and depressing. The man you trusted, the man you thought was omnipotent, and he could do anything, you begin to distrust and disrespect. Well, I have seen many people who are caught in that mold of just regrets and anger for the imperfection of their father, for the scar and for the impression, negative impression that they have made in their lives, that they cannot move on. They have grudges so big against their father that their entire life is affected by anger and frustration. And they blame their fathers for ruining their lives. I have a news for you. All fathers are imperfect. All fathers. I think we need to get that through our thick skull, that all fathers are imperfect. My father was a pastor. He was an imperfect man. He was a good pastor, but he was a terrible father. He was an absent father. I don't remember ever going on trips with my father. You know, I had this issue with, you know, I wanted to play with my father, but he didn't like my personality. I think when I was young, even now, I have ADHD. I cannot sit still more than 15 minutes. You know, I have to move around. I feel like something's poking my butt, so I have to move around. But my dad couldn't stand me just having to move around. And he told me to sit. And as he was preparing his message for hours, he made me sit in front of him and not move. And that was hell. And I hated it. And one time he said, well, I'm going to take you out to have fun. Let's go fishing. I hate fishing, because fish, you have to wait until they bite. You know, you have to throw and then wait, and I couldn't wait. Every like 2 minutes, I was like reeling in, and I, you know, we went out to have fun, but I ended up getting in trouble for not being patient. So I remember my father being very strict, very disciplinary, because he believed in the Bible as the man of God, and the Bible says, do not spare the rod on your children. So he didn't spare the rod. And I always say I'm a holy child because my dad, when I was young, he beat the hell out of me. You know, I had no hell in me. Just all beaten out. Because, you know, if I wanted to see my father, I get in trouble. Then I go in to get punished. That was my father. And I had frustration and anger toward him growing up. And I thought, why can't he be like other fathers? Have some time for the family, for children. But to him, in order to follow Jesus, he needed to deny everyone, even the family, and carry the cross of Jesus. That was his motto, and that was his generation. So I had to live with that, and I had regrets. After my father's retirement, I had the heart-to-heart conversation, first time in my life. You know, I was now a grown man, married, I think we had one child. And I had a heart-to-heart talk with my dad after his retirement and after his, I think it was a 70th birthday. I asked him, is there anything in your life that you regret? And he said, well, I don't regret. I have no regrets except one. And what is it? And he said, I regret that I wasn't a good father. That one thing I regret. I wish I could have spent more time with you. I just couldn't hold it. I just had to turn around because that one statement of regret that he could have been a better father. As I became father, I understood. Even though we want to be there, want to be good father, at times, our circumstances, our situation doesn't allow. So that one word really melted all that kind of thing that was kind of clogging up my heart from reaching out to my father. You know, it just melted away. And I guess that carries through. You know, whatever you learn, you have a remnant of your father. Although you say that I don't want to be like my father, you tend to repeat the same behavior in your own life. That's why they say monkey see, monkey do. That's why children of alcoholics have a higher chance of becoming alcoholic. Even though they hated it, they themselves become alcoholics. Even though growing up, I said, when I become a father, I'm not going to be like, you know, my dad. He's a barbarian beating up his own kids to discipline them. And you know, I don't want to be like that. I'm going to be man-to-man talking. I want to be really cool, dad. I'm going to play with my kids, and I'm going to be really talking to my children. Boy, as I grew up and as I became father, I see myself repeating the same words that my dad said to me that were hurtful and doing the same behavior. Unless we're intentional, buck doesn't stop with me. It seems to kind of carry on from generation to generation of dysfunction. We know our imperfection, so we need to be intentional about that our imperfection does not cause damage to the next generation, to our children, and to our household. When I understood my father, I was not only understanding, but I was able to even forgive and even to be thankful to him. Jacob, he had passed. We do too. And Jacob also had the pressure to provide for his family. God blessed Jacob richly. He was a rich man in the land. But as famine struck the land, his wealth had nothing to do with living well. They had no food to eat. So he had to send his own children in order to go find food for the family because he had the pressure to provide. Fathers these days have pressure to provide for the household, and that's a great pressure, especially during this pandemic. Many people lost their jobs and business, went belly up. And, you know, even in our church, many families had to move away from New Jersey because they lost their job. Their business went bankrupt. So they had to move away to different states, cheaper states where they could afford, or states where there were more jobs available. And as I kind of, you know, usually our church has a kind of team that says goodbye to the people who are moving away, and I call them and I prayed for them. And many of them, you know, just they're so sad, and especially fathers are so burdened that they couldn't provide. And I heard this from one person that they don't like to go home anymore because they don't want to face the family. They feel shame. They feel, you know, not as a provider. So he said that he goes home after all the kids are gone to bed. And he leaves home early in the morning so that he doesn't have to face them. That's the pressure the father faces. Because we are put in the position of providing. They want to give a security to the household. How can you be supportive to the father who has such pressure? I think you can help him a lot by becoming his cheerleader. Whenever a man is going through hardship, for family to come through and really cheer them on, that is something wonderful. During my 30-some years of ministry, there was a time in my ministry that was really difficult. It was really depressing. The smile in my face was hard to find. So my two daughters, they kind of dressed up and they sent a video of them dancing. And it just really kind of foolish dance. It wasn't a proper dance. It was like, you know, in Korean you call it makchum, you know, whatever dance. And they were dancing. It's kind of really funny. And they started rapping. And I still have that video. And whenever I kind of feel sad and down, I look at it and it just brings a smile to my face. My daughter's willing to just let it go for the sake of a father. That was really encouraging. Now it became a source of kind of threat. You know, I have that video still. I'm going to show on your wedding day if you don't do what I tell you to do. I think family members can encourage the father, for they feel the pressure all the time to provide. And, you know, when we're not able to provide fully, it gets to us. It gets to us. When wife has to work too, kind of, I wish she didn't have to work so that I can provide fully. But sometimes that's not how it works. You know, I remember growing up as a PK, my father's vision in ministry was always going to a startup church, kind of beginning church. He was a church planter. Church planter means you always live in poverty. You know, church cannot provide a stipend or salary. So, you know, my mom had to always get 2-3 jobs in order to provide for the family. So I don't remember ever growing up shopping nice clothes. I always had a hand-me-down. You know, even underwears, I wore whatever my brother wore, I got hand-me-down. So only way for me to get new clothes was outgrow him. So that's why I got kind of fat, so that I can get new clothes. Outgrow my brother so I can get new clothes. And so, you know, I remember always kind of shopping. Back then, Kmart. Yeah, we went to Kmart for clothes shopping. All my friends went to, you know, different, like, you know, JCPenney's. And when I first met my wife, she was shopping at Macy's. And I thought, Macy's, you go to hell if you shop at Macy's, I thought. But we were content because my mother made sure that we need to be grateful for whatever we have, because God is using your father in order to really bring glory to his kingdom and expand his kingdom. I think my mother did a wonderful job of just encouraging all of us in order to be appreciative for what we have. I know my dad used to say, you know, this is kind of funny, you know, whenever we see like in the news that there was a kidnapping or some sort, he used to say, aren't you glad that your father's poor? No one's going to kidnap you. Just be glad that you don't, you know, your dad is poor. Otherwise, you'll be kidnapped and you might be killed. And we used to say amen to that. Jacob, though he was imperfect, he had the past and he had to provide for his family. And at times he couldn't. One thing he did well was bless his children. He believed in the blessing. That's why when he was young, he wanted to get his father's blessing. He believed in the power of blessing. So no matter what it takes, even if he has to trick his brother and trick his father, he wanted to get that prayer blessing. So he knew the power of blessing. Today's passage was read in Genesis 48. But if you read Genesis 49, the next chapter, Jacob is about to die. He's nearing his death. And what he does is he calls all his 12 children. And one by one, he prays for them. He blesses them. He says, Reuben, you're going to excel in power and honor. Judah, your brothers are going to praise you, and your enemies are going to be conquered by you. Dan, you are going to provide justice to people. Asher, your food is going to be rich. And one by one, he begins to pray. And today's passage, he was sick, and he was in sickbed, and Joseph, his son, brings two of his sons, grandchildren, and what does Jacob do? He blesses them. He prays for them. What is the role of a father? What is the greatest gift that we can give to our children? It is a gift of prayer. It is a gift of blessing. You know, fathers are usually seen as people who are a few words. Mothers are always home with children and talking to the children, having heart-to-heart talk. But the fathers, you know, yesterday I was talking to my wife, and she says, you know, honey, you need to have a heart-to-heart talk with your kids so that later on you will have communication, will have relationship with them. I want to, but remnants of my father still in me, and it's really kind of, you know, I have to go out of my comfort zone in order to have a heart-to-heart talk. One of our kid, he even asked me, Dad, I want to have a heart-to-heart talk with you. And I feel, why? What was it? Well, you have a problem? You know, you have heart-to-heart talk. When you have problem, you don't just have a heart-to-heart talk on a normal day. But he wanted to have that deep relationship. Yet, you know, it wasn't my comfort zone. But one thing that I can do to my children is to bless them. It's to bless them. One by one, calling them by names. And I want to start a new tradition here at Chode. Every Father's Day, now that we have this Zoom and all this FaceTime, and we have technology to connect with our children, even though your children are older and away from home, just on Father's Day, rather than them gathering money and giving you a gift, it'll be a time for Father to bless each child, calling by name and blessing them individually by prayer. And that is the greatest thing you can do. Sometimes you don't know how to bless. Blessing is telling someone that God is going to be with them no matter what. In 1984, Ryan White was a boy's name. He was 13-year-old who was hemophiliac. He received a transfusion, but he received the transfusion that was contaminated by AIDS. Back then in 1984, people died of AIDS. If you had AIDS, there was no cure. People died left and right. And he was diagnosed with AIDS. First youngest person ever diagnosed as AIDS, with AIDS in the U.S. And he came out in the news. And also he touched many people's heart because his behavior was really a positive one. He never lost a smile. He always was encouraging people. He didn't have regrets. And he died at 18. He lived five more years and died. But in the last kind of interview with the father and son, and a Christian magazine carried the article about what the content of conversation was about. Father wrote a letter to the son and said, Ryan, I am so sorry that there is no more gift to give you in this world. I am so sorry. I wish I could give you more gifts. And Ryan wrote to the father, Father, I have received already so much. So much gift from so many people, but gift that you have given me, no one could have given me, only you. And I am so grateful for the gift that you have given me. You have given me the key to the kingdom of God. You have introduced me to Jesus Christ, and you took me to church to believe in him, and now I have eternal life. And that is the greatest gift of all. Fathers who are a few words, whatever you say, few words you say has an impact. If you say negative things, has a negative impact for a lifetime. If you say something positive, believe me, that is going to go a long way to influence and to impact your children. You may say, well, they're all grown up and they no longer listen to me. Believe me, they will listen to you. They will listen to you. Children listen to the parents until the day you die. How do I know that? When I was doing English ministry at Yongnak in Los Angeles, we used to have afternoon, I think I told you this service, it was a clubber service. You know, people who go to clubs on Saturdays and they can't get up early in the morning, so, you know, they get a call from their parents early in the morning, Sunday morning, did you go to church? So they want to not disobey mom or dad, so they come to church, but they cannot come at 11 o'clock service, so they come at 1:30. Because that's when they wake up. You know, they wake up and come at 1:30 because parents are checking up on them whether they went to church. So they come with sunglasses. You know, if they take it off, their eyes are all red. And they come. Why? Because parents told them so. You have to go to church. Even though they partied all night, they don't want to disobey their parents. So they come to church. Influence of parents, especially the fathers, is amazing. It's great. One word that I say. I remember one of our child, you know, it's not really academic. It's not a super achiever, kind of mediocre. But I had an opportunity to talk to this kid and said, you know, I'm so proud of you. That is so proud of you. Because you as a teenager, you as a person could have gone this way, but you're still following God. Wow. I'm so proud of you. And as I was talking to her, she just turned her head. And I thought, what the? You know, I'm complimenting her, and she turns her head and as if she doesn't want to listen. Later, she told Mom that she was like so touched that Daddy was proud, that she just, tear was flowing, and she didn't want to show tears, so she turned around. That's how much power fathers have. So you have a power to bless. In the Bible, it is a special honor and special privilege that the fathers have to bless the children. In the Bible, fathers bless the children, and children receive that blessing and live accordingly. So you have an opportunity to really impact your children in an amazing way. Patrick Morley wrote a book called Men in the Mirror, and he tells a story about an ill-fated fishing trip. A group of fishermen had landed in a secluded bay in Alaska, had a great day fishing for salmon. But when they returned to the seaplane, they were surprised to discover that that it was aground because of a fluctuating tides. They had no option but to wait until the next morning till the tide came in. But when they took off, they only got a few feet off the ground and came crashing down into the sea. Being aground the day before, it had punctured one of a pontoon and had filled up with water. The seaplane slowly began to sink as there were three men with a 12-year-old son, Mark. They prayed and then jumped into the icy cold water to swim ashore. Water was cold and the riptide was strong, and the two of the men reached the shore exhausted. They looked back, and their companion, who was also a strong swimmer, did not swim to the shore because of his 12-year-old son wasn't strong enough to make it. They saw that the father, with his arm around his son, being swept out to the sea. The father chose to die with his son rather than to live alone without him. I think that's the heart of every father, willing to sacrifice and devote for the family, willing to give up their dreams, willing to give up whatever they can in order to make family and household a happy place. This is a fact of life that most kids do not know. The father loves children so much that they would die for them. That's how our Heavenly Father did for us. God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son in order to reclaim each one of us to be his own. And that's kind of a father that God has given each father, that we too are willing to sacrifice. We too are willing to give whatever we can in order to bring smile and joy to our household. You are kind of a personification of Jesus Christ in your household. So what you have to do is not to be perfect, but to be real, to be honest, and to be Christ-like so that you can really make an impact in your household and every member's in it. So today, after the service, go home. If you have children away, then just go on the Zoom or the FaceTime, whatever, and just gather them, and fathers, just lift them up in prayer and bless them one by one. And if they're in your household, gather them together. Today is Father's Day, and I want to really do something on this Father's Day. In fact, every Father's Day that is going to come, as long as I'm alive, I want to bless each child. Father's blessing will become a reality, believe me. My father blessed me and prayed for me, and I'm living the dream. And I want that same thing, same blessing upon my children as well. So today, I want to bless the father. So at this time, can we all pray together? And I want to ask all the fathers to stand where you are. All the fathers, stand where you are. Just, I want to just lift you up and bless you. God, these men who are standing, we became father not because we are ready for it or we have prepared, but we became father because in your providence and in your plan, you wanted us to be. And we believe this is a calling. And at times we feel inadequate. We feel that we're not doing a right job, that we are making so many mistakes, that I could have done so much better rather than remaining at that place of inadequacy. God, will you give us a heart to bless? Will you fill our hearts and our minds with your blessings so that we can be a blessing to our family, to our children, and to our spouse? God, we pray for your wisdom, for your knowledge, for your strength, for your faith, for your patience, for your love. As we bless, may we become the conduits of your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.